What if your estranged billionaire uncle died and left you a trillion-dollar villain empire complete with genetically engineered talking cats? This is precisely the bizarre reality Charlie faces in Starter Villain. Recently divorced, laid off from journalism, and reduced to substitute teaching while living in his childhood home with only his cat Hera for company, Charlie's life is already at rock bottom when he learns of Uncle Jake's death on CNBC. The supposedly ordinary parking garage magnate had been estranged from Charlie's family since his mother's funeral. Their only contact? A wedding gift of berry spoons with an eerily accurate prediction about Charlie's doomed marriage. When Jake's attorney, Matilda Morrison, arrives requesting Charlie stand in at the funeral, his world transforms. Within days, Charlie goes from defending his uncle's corpse from a knife-wielding stranger to watching his house explode, faking his own death, and discovering his cat Hera can type complex messages on a specialized keyboard. The substitute teacher has unwittingly inherited a global empire built on what his uncle euphemistically called villainy. Hello, Charlie. Sorry about your house. Welcome to my other home. I have a room waiting for you upstairs, types Hera when Charlie follows her to a safe house. The novel's most delightful revelation is that Charlie's cat is actually a genetically engineered intelligence asset who's been protecting him for years, creating one of the story's most compelling dynamics based on mutual respect rather than ownership. At Uncle Jake's St. Genevieve Island headquarters, Charlie discovers the true business behind the parking garage empire, developing technologies with dual purposes. These innovations are publicly licensed to industries, while their off-book uses are sold to governments and billionaires. Rain-making lasers double as satellite destroyers. Life-saving pharmaceuticals become untraceable brain-jamming drugs. Photo compression transforms into quantum steganography. This approach to villainy isn't about world domination, but exploiting system vulnerabilities. As HR head Eve Yang explains, villain is merely a job title for professional disruptors. By claiming the negative label themselves, they rob it of power when used against them. Charlie's inheritance comes with dangerous complications, primarily the Lombardi Convocation, a secretive group of 12 supervillains who meet annually at Lake Como's Grand Bellagio Hotel. These aren't costumed characters, but ordinary-looking business people who control financial empires and manipulate global events for profit. Each member keeps a pedigreed cat, a tradition inspired by the founding member who influenced Fleming's Blofeld character. Their meeting coincides with the Bellagio gathering, providing perfect cover. Charlie discovers the convocation's true nature. Not masterminds, but aging legacy members who've squandered fortunes on bad investments. Their leader, Anton Dobrev, owns the Grand Bellagio and seems amused by Charlie's financial assessment. The others demand either Charlie's membership, with a 10% buy-in, or $100 billion in compensation. Most shocking, Uncle Jake was once a member. Dobrev claims St. Genevieve contains a storeroom with hundreds of billions in Nazi-looted treasures, including Holocaust victims' possessions. This treasure becomes the central conflict between Charlie and these desperate villains. Charlie inherits genetically modified dolphins with human-level intelligence who demand better working conditions, dental plans, and breeding rights instead of cloning. These profane, unionizing cetaceans add both humor and ethical complexity to the story. Their situation questions the ethics of creating sentient beings for exploitation. Despite complaints, they acknowledge their alternatives would be worse, creating an equitable exchange for their labor. Charlie's empathy distinguishes him from his uncle. He views them as individuals deserving rights rather than assets. This ethical stance extends to Charlie's relationship with Hera and the modified cats, outcasts among their species due to enhanced intelligence. Both groups exist in a liminal space, too intelligent for their original species, yet not fully accepted by humans. The conflict escalates when the dolphins discover Ji-jong Kim has been using mind-controlled whales to attack St. Genevieve. When Charlie's dolphins convince Kim's whales to join their union, it demonstrates how empathy and fair treatment triumph over coercion. As tensions escalate, Charlie navigates a web of betrayals. After his house explodes and he's framed for murders, Charlie realizes no one can be trusted, except perhaps his typing cat. The climax occurs when Charlie seemingly surrenders to Convocation member Robert Gradas, offering the Nazi treasure for peace. He insists all six remaining members must come personally to access the storeroom with their handprints. This apparent capitulation is actually a trap. Inside the treasure room, Gradas orders Tobias to execute the other members to claim the entire $200 billion. But this betrayal collapses when Tobias reveals he's Morrison's partner, not Gradas's man. The final shock comes when Anton Dobrev appears alive, despite his supposed death in an explosion. This multi-layered deception reveals Charlie's manipulation throughout. Yet, rather than feeling victimized, Charlie experiences an epiphany. Despite winning, he feels only exhaustion with villainy's constant betrayals. "I don't want to be a villain anymore," he tells Morrison, a statement marking his moral growth. At its heart, Starter Villain explores finding connection in unlikely circumstances. Charlie begins as a man adrift, divorced, unemployed, estranged from his half-siblings. His journey brings him into a strange new family of a typing cat, profane dolphins, and his uncle's former employees. Charlie and Hera evolve from a simple pet-owner relationship to true partners. When Hera risks her life to protect Charlie from an assassin, their bond deepens. Later, she intervenes when Dobrev considers exiling Charlie to Svalbard with a tracker, demonstrating fierce loyalty that transforms their relationship. Similarly, Charlie's relationship with the dolphins progresses from bewilderment to mutual respect. By acknowledging their autonomy and supporting their unionization, he earns loyalty his controlling uncle never could. The dolphins prove this during the climactic confrontation with Gradas, fighting alongside Charlie by choice rather than obligation. Through these unconventional relationships, Charlie builds a chosen family bound not by blood, but by mutual respect, ultimately stronger than his previous connections. Charlie returns to Barrington to find his absence barely noticed. Though not inheriting the expected fortune, he receives a trust worth $11.75 million, including his house and McDougal's pub. After a year running the pub with Brennan's help, Charlie has found an authentic life. The true inheritance proves emotional. Charlie receives a letter from Uncle Jake apologizing for the cruel note with the berry spoons, using Charlie without consent, and abandoning him after his mother's death. This posthumous acknowledgement reveals Jake retained some capacity for human connection, a trait Charlie possesses more fully. The novel ends with Charlie closing the pub to find Hera and grown-up Persephone waiting outside. When his waitress notices them, Charlie explains they're his cats who definitely trouble. As they leave together, Charlie thanks Hera, marking his journey from isolation to found family. Charlie finds a middle path, maintaining connections to the extraordinary world while living an ordinary life of his choosing. The novel's ultimate message, true power comes from the freedom to determine your own path and recognize what truly matters.